You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Nathan Zagura, the Notorious V.I.C., back with you here on ESPN 850 WKNR. And if you want to know what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns, get the latest information directly from the source. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns at any time and in any place. That is everywhere. Ubiquitous connection. SAT word. There you go. All right. We are going to go inside the locker room in just a second. And if you're just joining us and you haven't heard the news, Jordan Cameron did not practice today. He is in the league's concussion protocol. So Gary Barnage, there's a chance, could be the starting tight end this week. So, Vic, I know that we're going to go inside the locker room with Mr. Barnage.
We will. One more second, though. Just want to pass this along. Tom Withers from the Associated Press tweeted that Joe Thomas was not participating in drills early on in the portion that the media was able to see, and that started right where we were on the air, so wanted to pass that along as well. Whatever that might mean, Joe Thomas maybe just getting a little rest today, but we'll find out from Coach Chudzinski later on. All right, we do go inside the locker room today, and as you mentioned, it is Gary Barnage, Jameer Howerton sitting down with him. Jameer, take it away.
Thanks, Vic. Gary, you guys are preparing for the New York Jets. If you could just talk about the preparations and how this team is gearing up and getting ready for Sunday's matchup.
The Jets got a good defense, and we're looking forward to our game plan, and everything's coming together right now. We're going to put out in practice today, and it's going to be we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun game.
Let's talk about your preparation and how you're gearing up. What are you working on as you guys are going into the home stretch?
Towards the end of the season, a lot of guys, it comes details. It's a little details. You start losing your details, your technique, staying low, and that's what we're working on right now.
And the big news coming out of Brownstown today is that tight end Jordan Cameron is a part of the NFL concussion protocol. Just talk about what he's meant to this offense.
He's a great athlete, and he has ways of getting open, and he's been a huge part of our offense. But with him going down, it's not an issue for us. We'll have other guys in the room. We can step up, and we'll be all right.
With that being said, if you could just talk about the philosophy of the next man up and the next man season opportunity.
It's huge because you never know what's going to happen in the season. There's always injuries, so you always got to have somebody ready to go. And if you're not ready to go, then you just got to be ready at all times because you never know when it's going to happen. So as soon as it happens, guys get their opportunity, and you show out.
You showed your opportunity out there on the field, and as well as tight end Marquise Gray. Talk about this young man and what he's been able to contribute to this offense coming in.
He's got a dynamic ability because, as you've seen, he can line up at quarterback, he can play receiver, he can line up at tight end, he can line up at fullback, so you can move him around. He's a nice little chess piece, makes the defense have to look for.
And just overall, if you can just talk about the mindset of this team as you guys head into the last two games of the season. You guys have just been dealing with a lot of tough losses over the course of the year, but you guys have been able to just bounce back and just show up every Sunday.
You have to, and that's a huge thing we're stressing, and you got to be able to show up every week. You can't just take it off because you had a rough week the week before, and we're looking forward to these last two games, and then hopefully end the season out right and get ready for next year.
Gary, thank you for your time, and good luck.
No problem. Thank you.
Back to you, Vic.
Jameer, thank you so much, and we thank Gary Barnage as well for that. And, yeah, I mean, here's a guy, and he's been an interesting addition. Solid player. He's actually made some plays. I mean, he's made a couple of big ones. We're never going to mistake him for Jordan Cameron as that kind of playmaker, but I think he's a role player, solid. I'm good with him going forward. I think a guy like that has a spot in this team.
And he's got the familiarity. He was with Rob Chudzinski in Carolina. He is a workman. He's never going to cause you any off-the-field trouble. Very good guy. Had the opportunity to spend some time with Gary. Couldn't be nicer. Definitely focused, dedicated to this team. And he can make plays when given opportunity. Saw him have a 40-yard touchdown against the New England Patriots. He scored in the win over the Baltimore Ravens.
Right.
I like Gary Barnage. Very solid player, good blocker, and that's, you know, something that this team needs with a lot of the two tight end sets they run. He can block, and then every now and then when teams fall asleep, he can take advantage and make a big play.
You know, on the subject of future and quarterbacks, and again, we're going to have so much to talk about when we get to this, but because Todd McShay put out this first mock draft, and I think it's one of the first national ones that are out there. I
mean, CBS has them as well.
There's going to be an onslaught, obviously, as time goes on. But interesting that he connected the Browns with Derek Carr in this first go-around. And because I've not heard a lot about Carr as a first-rounder, although he's been this rising guy.
He's on the meteoric rise, no question.
He's definitely rising, and maybe he can rise this high. The connection with the Browns, though, makes a lot of sense because I think, A, he's a guy they like a great deal, and B, You know, his game translates, I think, really well to this type of offense, because what he's got is that accuracy, that ability to throw those kinds of passes we were hoping to see to the Deion Lewis's and possibly the Edwin Bakers, and trying to expand that in addition to making the bigger throws to the Josh Gordons.
He's 6'2", 210 pounds. He has a strong arm. He can get the ball down the field. He's extremely accurate, especially in the intermediate game. Has a high football IQ. He's a guy who this year so far, 4,866 yards, 48 touchdowns versus 7 interceptions. So solid ratio there. He can make all the throws. He's mature. He's been through a lot in his life, so I think he's going to come in as a much more grounded 22-year-old than some of these other people. But the reason Carr's here now is because if you look at McShay's mock, it goes Bridgewater 1 to Houston.
Yeah.
The number 2 pick would be Jake Matthews, the offensive tackle, to the Rams via Washington. Then he's got Blake Bortles going 3, who's another fast riser out of University of Central Florida. Yep. A big guy, kind of like Roethlisberger in his size, 6'4", 230, has a strong arm, good, he can move, he's pretty... Blake Bortles is a guy that I would not mind seeing here in Cleveland.
I like him.
Then they have Johnny Football going to the Jags at 4, Clowney to the Falcons at 5, and the Browns would take Carr at 6, being the fourth quarterback taken in the first 6 picks. So it's interesting to see how it's going to play out, because there are a lot of options. You could have, you know, you could go quarterback there. You could take a Sammy Watkins there and go for a quarterback towards the end of the first round, because I think the way that it started to happen is that those four have separated themselves. Now, Brett Hundley comes out from UCLA. He could be somebody that could end up kind of in that mix, maybe late first round. And then if you wait, which is feasible, you could go another direction, add two skill players in the first round, add a lineman and whatever, add a corner and a receiver, whatever you end up doing. In the second round, you're going to have a shot at guys like A.J. McCarron's going to be there, Mettenberger's going to be there, Taj Boyd's going to be there, Jimmy Garoppolo even later, who's one of those fast risers, if you really want to dive into it, as somebody who people like in the kind of the middle rounds, Aaron Murray, who was injured at Georgia. So it's interesting to see how it's going to end up playing out. But I do like Derek Carr. I had an opportunity to watch quite a few of his games. I think he can really throw the ball. He looks smart. He plays in kind of that spread offense, which is in many ways similar to what North Turner does, throws the ball down the field, hasn't played the defenses that you maybe want to see, but I like him. And Blake Bortles is a guy, if you're a Browns fan, I would also recommend checking out. I think he could be pretty darn good.
The thing with Bortles, you know, he's 21. I mean, he's a little, you know, he's going to be a little younger, but he's played, he's a smart guy, his football savvy, he gets high marks for that, and again, with his size, the arm strength is there. I want some bulk. I do want a guy that's going to deal with taking a lot of hits. That would be one of my biggest concerns with Johnny Manziel. As much as he can run away from people, he's going to get clocked quite a bit. And in this division, in this AFC North, where you're dealing with weather, the bigger, stouter player, and that is what you should have at this position. I mean, in many ways, don't go ridiculously small. And not that Carr is a giant, but he's solid enough. 6'2" is a pretty good, if that's true, and we'll get the true measurements, I know, on these guys as it goes forward. A lot of times you're dealing with college measurements here, and they could be off. But let's assume that that's right, and that he's, you know, 209, 210 isn't – you want to see a little more muscle on him. I think he is a little slender for my liking of, you know, that thickness of player because of the beating he's going to take, because of the weather conditions you're going to deal with in the AFC North. You know, these are the things that kind of look at. But I'll tell you what's interesting here is I think with Carr, with Manziel, with Bortles, you're looking at the cluster of guys that I think this team – would have an interest in taking, and I think that's how you have to approach this if you're the Browns. I would probably expect it to happen in the first round, Nathan, and I think from that cluster, you'll get a guy you want. You won't say, oh, shoot, they're taking this one. We've got to maneuver our way up to get that one. I don't think that's how they're thinking down the hall at all. I think they're thinking about, we're going to have equal love for multiple players, and I'm just going to throw a number out there, 3 at that position. And
I think it'll
one
be
of
four.
The,
I think
if
it'll
one,
be
maybe,
four.
Well, ultimately, maybe it'll be 4, but I'll say 3 just to be on the conservative side.
Who would the
that
3
one
be
of the
that
three,
you think?
I think it's Manziel, Carr, Bortles. I think right now it's
no
those
Bridgewater.
Three. No. I don't
think it's going to be. So you're saying, assuming the Bridgewater's gone, or you're not that into Bridgewater?
I'm not that into Bridgewater.
Okay.
I don't know if they're going to be that into Bridgewater, but you know, I think when we do these assessments, we do them on the basis of us sort of, and we're going to do this, by the way, and we're going to have our own board and everything that you and I are going to agree on, by the way, we're going to agree on something, and our board and our free agency board as well. But no, Teddy Bridgewater, not as into him. Personally, and I think the team not as into him. And yet I think there is a universal belief, as you mentioned with McShay's board here, his first mock, that he is the top overall pick and that the Houston Texans do like him or are going to love him enough to make him the top overall pick. Yeah. So he may not even be in the conversation. But that isn't the reason I was eliminating him. I think it's sound and prudent for the Browns to, if they do anything in this draft with regard to wheeling and dealing, it'll be to add picks, not to necessarily give up picks to move up.
Right. I think, and if you're right, that they will have, you know, multiple, if they will have a quartet of guys that they're comfortable with, they're going to get one of them if they're picking six. There is no need to move up at that point.
That's where I am with that.
Which would be great, because then you don't need to move up, because you know if two quarterbacks are still left by the time you're at pick number four, the Falcons are not taking a quarterback.
Nope.
You know, right. Now you could worry about somebody trying to make a move to jump you, which is feasible, which is possible. But at the same time, you know, maybe that it doesn't happen. So the Browns, I think, are going to be in pretty good shape. And obviously, depending on how these last 2 weeks go, they could be in even better shape. They could end up get themselves into the top four where it's moot. And they know that even if the first four picks are quarterbacks, they're going to get one of the quarterbacks that they want.
This is sadly true. Or maybe not so.
Or maybe
sadly.
goodly true. That's right. We'll see. We will be back with hour number two of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. In that hour, you will hear from Gerard Cherry. We're also going to hear from the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Rob Chudzinski, who had some very interesting things to say at his press conference today. We'll also hear from the quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, Jason Campbell. And we want to hear from you, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Or you can tweet the show at Browns_Daily. Notorious and I are going to hug it out while you get a little SportsCenter. We'll be back for the second hour right after this.
We always hug it out. We always.